It is time for Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Werpin. Judy, of course, the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com, also author of Simon Loses His Tummy and her latest book, Before Her Voice Was Still. Good morning, Dr. Werpin.
Good morning to both of you.
And, are you writing another book?
I'm sure the update is not very pleasant reading, but important to do anyway.
I am really struck because South Florida, which is where you are, correct?
Right.
I see pictures, like, for example, they're still holding horse racing in South Florida.
Well, not where I am, Jill. Everything was closed about 3 weeks ago. Our beaches were closed. Our parks were closed. All the stores were closed. The only place you're allowed to go is a supermarket or a drugstore. I guess there's some liquor stores open also. And I think that the reason that you may see this discrepancy is that up until about a week ago, counties could use their own judgment as to whether they wanted to close places for public gathering. But our mayor at Miami Beach, where we live, soon after the shelter-in-place injunctions that came from the mayor of San Francisco and also the mayor and the governor of Massachusetts, went into place here as well. And because, you know, we are basically a tourist town, and this was, you know, the virus hit in the middle of spring break, the mayor really wanted the spring breakers to go back home and stop congregating on the beaches and spreading the virus. And so the beaches have been closed to everybody for quite a while.
I understand. And, of course, this has, but I really do appreciate your documentation of it. This particular, no, seriously, because you, most people by now should know that you are a multifaceted individual with a wide range of interests, disparate interests.
That's true.
So,
true. And one of the things I was, as all of us have, we check in with our friends, maybe daily, maybe weekly, and how are you doing? And you really can see a trajectory of change in mood. Sort of the first couple of weeks, there was anxiety, but there was also the novelty of being home. You know, the financial strain did not hit immediately, nor did the boredom or, and certainly the anxiety as you learn more and more about who was getting sick and indeed even dying. But now, several weeks into this, I think what we are all feeling is depressed. Not everybody, but, you know, a feeling of when is this going to end? How am I going to endure it? What am I going to do? What will the world be like when we finally get out of it? And it occurred to me that, you know, and I just, for my own interest, looked up the symptoms of a clinical depression that you would have diagnosed about yourself if you went to see a therapist, a psychiatrist, and were asked certain questions. And if the answers came out in a certain way, you would be told, well, you may have a clinical depression. And what was curious is that some of these symptoms, and I'll just sort of mention them, is being in a depressed mood or irritable. Well, okay, who isn't really irritable at a lot of things that are happening? A decreased interest or pleasure in most activities. Who has the activities even to be interested in? You know, we have, you know, even things that we thought we would want to do, like, you know, read a book or do a jigsaw puzzle, are no longer that interesting. Significant weight change? Yeah. I think a lot of us are dealing with a significant weight change because eating is one of the activities that we have available to us.
They're calling it it's being called the COVID-15. I think before this started, there was the something 15. Now it's the COVID-15. And the quarantine 15.
Okay. And then changing in sleep. Well, you know, a lot of times you go to sleep because there's nothing else to do, or you have insomnia because you're waking up worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. A change in activity, yeah. You know, certainly our physical activity has changed. We feel tired, mainly because there's nothing to motivate us not to feel tired. And it goes on and on, you know, inability to concentrate. Well, you know, some of us are saying our brains are all feel like they've turned to mush because there's nothing really to activate them. But these are all the symptoms of depression, and you don't have to have every one of these symptoms in order to be diagnosed. But that is a clinical depression that would probably end up having maybe medications prescribed to you or, you know, several sessions with a therapist. But isn't that interesting that they all describe just a situational change in the country where all of us are dealing with these feelings that have been imposed from outside, you know, by this virus that has totally changed the way we live. I mean, of us.
By a bat.
And it really makes ends up feeling like the whole country is under this shadow of being depressed.
And I
think it's good to realize that we're not alone, that if you feel this way personally, it's not because there's some neurotransmitter screw up in your brain, that you have too much of this and too little of that, but really because of living in this very, you know, limited environment where there's very little stimulation and for many of us, very little hope that it's going to be over before something really personally disastrous might happen. And I guess the only thing we can do is just say, you know, we're lucky for all of us who still have our health, you know, that we do have our health and we have the ability to, if we are alone, to Zoom in with friends, with family, to pick up the phone and talk to people. And, you know, that we know, you know, if there's no horrible other natural catastrophe, that eventually this will be over and, you know, we'll somehow survive it.
So what is interesting,
I think it's important to realize that if we are feeling these changes in mood, we're not unique in, you know, it's not just one of us is doing it, but really our whole country is feeling this way.
And what I find truly interesting about that is that a lot of people are not comforted, oddly in my view, by the fact that it's everybody.
Really? I can't, really?
And because because when I step back and I go, oh, God, this is just such a drag, or, you know, maintenance is always the hard part, whether it's a diet or a business or a, you know, there's the moment where you start it and it's, but maintenance, what is it? 90% of life is maintenance and the other 10% is your attitude about it. That's it. Yeah, 90% of life is maintenance and the other 10% is your attitude about it. And the maintenance of this particular situation with everything that it's entailed is admittedly getting a little tedious. Now, if you can get outside and depressing, anxiety provoking, you name it, it's on the list. But I'm struck by, because of the 15 years that came before it, which is select your own news, select your own food. It's like you're an individual. The community does it. It's what you want. We're here to tailor life to you. I'm not sure that I think it's taking a little bit of getting used to for people to go, oh, wait, you know what?
Together. You're absolutely right. And you know,
and so I might as well call someone.
It's very difficult. It's a social isolation because you really want to reach out and hug people. You want to have, you know, close physical contact to sort of comfort people. And it's hard to do it on a video, you know, or Skype or phone. But we have to do it that way because otherwise, you know, the effect is true isolation. But you're right, Jill. We are all in it together, and I think what you have to do is find bits of cheer and happiness, even if it just means a brief conversation with somebody who you haven't spoken to. And, wow, isn't it nice you have time to reach out, you have time to make that phone call.
And
anybody
who
has a mother who hasn't called his mother has no excuse anymore, right?
Absolutely. But also, if you are really having difficulty, think about what you can do. There are lots of people out there who need phone calls, for example. There
Absolutely.
Are lots of, you know, if you want to volunteer someplace that is delivering food and so forth, you can put on a mask and
yeah.
get a gig. So there is, you do have that ability if you are inclined. And if you are not inclined, then you do have the ability to sign up for phone banks or whatever to just, you don't want to call your friends? Good. Call random people because everybody's out there and they need a little bit of.
Yes, exactly. We shouldn't be feeling sorry for ourselves.
Well,
we can, but we really have to reach out and help people
or channel that into some action only because I haven't lived long enough to not have discovered that doing something is far better than just sitting there and molting.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. These are good words, Jill, and I hope people listen to them. And again, we will look back on this as you say, you're keeping records and say, we got through it. And, you know, it makes us appreciate the small things that we just took for granted.
Yeah.
So maybe there's a lesson. But anyway, let's keep going.
Straight ahead.
Something.
Straight ahead. Thank you very much,
okay,
Dr. Judy Wortman, Food for Mood.
And, of course, you can hear Judy Wortman here on Robin Hood Radio on Thursday mornings, right around 20 minutes after 8 o'clock. Also on demand, robinhoodradio.com.